There are very few of us these days coming to the chapel. Yesterday was the birthday of Father Francis. I was reflecting on these images of the Anuim at the foot of the cross. There are more statues than there are people here in the chapel. So we're the remnant few. Of course, that's not the way it's supposed to be. That's not normal. Just a few months ago, when it seemed that we were coming out of this quarantine phase, we were looking forward to having public masses again and resurrecting the men's choir. So we set up our year of themes for the thematic masses, and one of them is today. Today was scheduled to be a thematic mass, and the theme chosen for today is Jesus, the Holy One of God. Even though there's no choir here and very few people, I want to reflect a little bit on this theme anyway. It's a beautiful one. Jesus, the Holy One of God. It comes from the very last line of today's gospel. The beautiful words of Peter, "Master, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe and are convinced that you are the Holy One of God." Jesus, the Holy One of God. Part of the reason why this is striking is because in the whole of John chapter 6 and the whole discourse on the bread of life, most of it is Jesus talking, and most of it is him revealing about himself. He's the bread of life. He's come down from heaven. The Father has sent him. He's going to do the will of the Father. He's going to offer himself. He wants us to eat his flesh and drink his blood. We know the progression that we've followed this whole week. Now, there's some interaction with the crowd as they wonder what he's talking about. But most of it is Jesus revealing who he is. He is the bread of life. But in this statement at the very end, it's Peter who says who he is. So it's a response to all that Jesus has revealed. It's a faith statement. It's the statement of the church. Do we want to leave? Where will we go? Jesus has the words of eternal life, and we have come to believe, and we are convinced that Jesus is the Holy One of God. So it's like the crowning response to the discourse on the bread of life, declaration of faith. We know that not everyone makes this leap of faith. And in the discourse, Jesus runs into not only questioning, but resistance. In yesterday's gospel, after he said in Thursday's gospel that the bread he will give is his flesh for the life of the world, in yesterday's gospel, the people said, "Well, how can this man give us his flesh to eat?" Good question. How can he give us his flesh to eat? And Jesus doesn't answer the question. Instead, if you remember what he said in yesterday's gospel, instead he says even more strongly how necessary it is that we eat his flesh and drink his blood. He made it even more challenging. And that's why today's gospel starts with the audience saying, "This saying is hard. Who can accept it?" This saying is hard. There are a lot of hard sayings in the Gospels. In fact, some people have made attempts to collect the hard sayings of Jesus. I ran across a book not too long ago, 70 of the hard sayings of Jesus. I don't know how he came up with 70. I suppose you could pick out almost anything. Some sayings of Jesus are hard because it's hard to understand what he means. Like when he says, You have to hate your father and your mother. You have to hate your very self. What? That sounds, doesn't make sense. But most of the hard sayings are hard because we understand what he means, and what he means is very challenging to us. I'm sure you know some of them. If anyone pondering the word gets challenged by the word, the hard sayings, we can group them into the challenges of the evangelical councils: poverty, chastity, obedience. Although you could, there's many, but let's just, to for the sake of reflection, poverty. We think of the hard saying that Jesus gives to the rich young man: if you want to be perfect, go sell all that you have, give it all to the poor, and then come follow me. And remember, the young man found that to be a hard saying, and he went the way sad. Chastity, go back to the Sermon on the Mount. Anyone who looks at a woman lustfully is committing adultery with her in his heart. Or what about the statement Jesus makes about renouncing sexual life for the sake of the kingdom? Obedience. Oh, there's lots of them. Jesus says, love your enemies, pray for your persecutors, take up your cross and follow me. Okay, there's lots of them. Hard sayings. Well, that expression, hard sayings, comes from here, from this gospel, John chapter 6, verse 60. This saying is hard. What's the one that they say is hard? That we must eat his body and drink his blood. Very hard. Even repulsive. What is Jesus' response to this difficulty? He says, does this shock you? What if you were to see the Son of Man ascending to where he was before? You see what he does? Instead of lowering the demand, he raises it. What if you were to see me, he's the Son of Man, ascend to the Father? Would you accept that? Can you accept that hard saying? He makes another hard saying. Then he goes on to say that some people will not believe. Then he goes on to put a hard saying to the 12. Do you also want to leave? And some of the people left. They left, like the rich young man did. So he puts it to the 12. Do you also want to leave? It's a hard saying. Because, yes, of course, there's something in us that does want to leave. Our flesh doesn't like hard sayings. We don't like being challenged or corrected or convicted. Certainly every married person knows this question. Do you want to leave? To leave this marriage? Yes, everybody does at some point or another, because it's hard. And then the question is, what are you going to do? Are you going to remain faithful? Are you going to live by your commitment? Or are you going to leave? And I've known many couples who have declared to me after a crisis, we decided to remain. We know this is the will of God. Even though it's hard, we know it's the will of God. And we're going to do God's will. It's something like Peter here says, well, to whom shall we go? As if he were implying, yeah, he would love to leave if he could find a better alternative, but there isn't any. This is the right one, even though it is hard. You have the words of eternal life, and no one else does. Now, earlier this week, I recommended that we read this whole chapter, chapter 6 of John, and it was in that recommendation that I pointed out that a few of the verses are left out. A couple of days ago, I said the verses that mention St. Joseph are left out, and that was a choice of the liturgists. And it makes some sense because trying to just focus on the bread of life. But St. Joseph is a master at dealing with hard sayings. You know, we think it would be great to have an angel come to us in a dream and tell us what to do. Well, what if what the angel tells you to do is hard? Then it's still put on the spot. Are you going to do it or not? Take this woman as your wife. She's conceived by the Holy Spirit. That's a hard saying. That takes faith to accept. What about get up and take the child and his mother and go to Egypt? That's a hard saying. You can imagine Joseph saying, "What? She just gave birth. The child's an infant. I can't go running off to Egypt." But he does it. See, that's why Joseph is a great witness of faith response to hard sayings. Okay, now since I mentioned that there are some verses missing, let me point out that this gospel that we read today goes up until John 6, verse 69. And it concludes with that statement of Peter, we believe and we are convinced that you are the Holy One of God. Sounds like the culmination of the whole discourse, but it's not. There are two more verses in this chapter. Let me read them to you, starting verse 70. Jesus answered them, "Did I not choose you 12? Yet is not one of you a devil?" That's verse 70. Now verse 71. He was referring to Judas, son of Simon the Iscariot. It was he who would betray him, one of the 12. So what seems to us like the bread of life discourse culminates with a great declaration of faith, you're the Holy One of God, also culminates with the reality that some who are chosen do not believe. What's set up here is a contrast between Peter and Judas. We saw this in Holy Week. Contrast between Peter and Judas. Here it is again. Peter represents the response of faith to the Holy One of God. Not that it's easy, but that it's right. It's true. Judas is a devil. That's a pretty hard saying. One of you is a devil. That's a hard saying. And Judas was right there. So that was meant to pierce him, prick his conscience. It was he who would betray him, one of the 12. Now, the reason why I'm stressing this is because we think it's true, it's great, the response of Peter to say, you're the Holy One of God. But it doesn't start with our declaration of faith. It starts with God choosing us. Did I not choose you 12? Yes, Jesus chose the 12. Jesus has chosen us. Is not one of you a devil? Well, that's up to you. That's up to you. It's up to us. One of the 12 betrays him. This is the hard truth. It's another hard saying that even among the chosen, there are those who betray the Lord. Jesus is the Holy One of God. He wants us to be holy ones of God. But if we make wrong choices, we're more like the devil. I think that's the challenge that the scripture puts to us at the end of the Bread of Life discourse. Ultimately, there's only two options. Either we believe or we don't believe. We're chosen. That's God's business. Why does God choose us? That's the way he is. He's a lover. He chooses. He's an extraordinary. He's a good shepherd, we'll see tomorrow. He's someone who reaches out to the least worthy, the least lovable. He reaches out to us. He chooses us. But do we respond to his choice with faith? Do we remain faithful to him when what he says to us is hard? Or do we leave? This is really the challenge. And there's no in-between point. There's no saying I can be a pretty good person and I can accept the easy things that Jesus says and I'll just sort it out. I don't want to be too religious, but I'll just be good. That's not among the options that Jesus gives. There's only Peter or Judas. There's only faith or no faith. Is staying or leaving. Those are the two. This is hard. Because we would like to stay when we like and leave when we like. But in this life, we're a mixed up group. And all of us have right good days and bad days. That's why we have to go to confession. Sometimes we leave. But ultimately, by the time we get to the end, not the end of the discourse, but the end of our life, the choice is one or the other. So let us make the right choice today and every day. The choice that Peter expresses for us. Master, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe and are convinced that you are the Holy One of God. Amen.